My advice for entrepreneurs is definitely to level up with Shopify. The platform is just never a worry. Like, I have so many worries, but the platform is never one. I feel like Shopify really thinks about how they can optimize. It just always feels very ahead of the curve. Everything is just super easy to connect and link. They really know what we need. Time and money that is saved, I can spend on other things and on growth.
Start your free trial at shopify.com.
Welcome to Recovering Gleek, a podcast for all of your complicated feelings about the TV show Glee.
You left my heart as empty as a Monday morning Minnesota. It used to be so full of podcasts, but now it only hurts. And I can hear Ryan Murphy whisper, things are only getting worse. You left my heart as empty as a Monday morning Minnesota.
Kind of mean about our Minnesotes.
Oh, that's true. I didn't consider that. That we're like, there's no content worth listening to here. It's just
it's empty.
Ryan Murphy hates content. Well, don't blame me. Blame Alan Jackson, who wrote that song, Monday Morning Church.
Thanks, Alan Jackson.
Sorry, Minnesotes. I want to apologize. Our Minnesotes are so fun. Didn't you know? We actually have been getting an influx of emails from people who are like, I am listening to the Minnesotes for the first time, and I have a great time. So welcome, first-timers. Well, glad to have all of you here, newcomers and old-timers, at Minnesota 106.
Yeah, wow.
We're gonna do some 10 tricks for you.
Whoa, okay.
And then
for your first trick.
And now I'm doing a back handspring.
Yeah. And I have a card trick for you today.
okay.
Go ahead and pick a card.
This one.
Awesome. Show the audience.
Okay.
Okay, perfect.
Nina, close your eyes.
Yeah, don't show me.
There's okay. The card.
Awesome. Okay. Put it back in the deck.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay.
Yeah?
Okay.
Oh my
gosh. Was this your card?
Oh my gosh, yes!
See, 10 tricks. Yeah.
10 tricks. Welcome! Lena's been preparing that for 106 weeks. She keeps being like, we started for our first Minnesota, and she said, you're not going to believe what I have planned for Minnesota 106, 10 tricks.
Yeah. It's going to be a card trick. And I know what you say. That I can't be a magician. I can't be a magician. That's all you guys say. But you know what? Here I am today. Minnesota 106. 10 tricks. Proving y'all wrong.
We've been editing this out, but nearly every email we've ever received at one point has said, and Lena will never be a magician.
And I'm here to prove your ass is wrong.
If I know one thing to be true, is that Lena will never, ever be a magician.
And you know what? I took that to heart. And at first, I was like, my dreams of being a magician, they're shot. But then one day, probably around like Minnesota, like 42, pretty early on, I was like, I can't let them keep getting me down. I can't let people keep telling me I can't be a magician. So I've been working ever since to do that one card trick over this podcast, this listening medium. So awesome. Super great.
OMG. Minnesota 42 is when we had to take a break because I had a really bad panic attack.
Oh.
And I couldn't record. Also want to hear something funny.
Yeah, I do.
There is no Minnesota 42 because I messed up and I titled Minnesota 42 Minnesota 45. So we have two Minnesota 45s and no Minnesota 42.
Whoa.
Oops. It goes Minnesota 41, Minnesota 45, Minnesota 43, 44, 45 again.
Okay, that's better. For a second, I thought you were going to say that there was no Minnesota 42.
Like, skipped
we
three.
Immediately skipped it and we're like, one ahead of what we should be at. And I'm like, oh no, the numbers in my brain.
Yeah.
Literally.
But yeah, that panic attack was really bad. That was one of the worst ones I've ever had. That's when we watched Only Murders in the Building over the course of like 2 days because I couldn't get up off of your floor because I was in a way. So, and I remember I was laying on your floor, didn't have the will to do anything, watching Only Murders, and you said to me, "You know what? I think I can be a magician."
I can't believe I said that to you.
I'm practicing a card trick. I think I can pull this one out.
And it didn't work, if you remember. It didn't work. And you were like, "Lena, don't do this to me right now." And I said, "Please, just look at my card trick for just one moment." It didn't work.
It didn't work. But hey, it was worth the wait. Yeah. I'm glad. I loved it this time. So thank you. Well, hello, everyone. My name is Ian Allred. I mislabeled Minisode 42, and I will probably get around to fixing that someday. But honestly, I think it's kind of fun that we have 245. So maybe we'll just never fix it.
It's kind of funny.
It's a little quirk. What are the odds that out of all of our Minisodes, you picked the one that is mislabeled?
That's really crazy. Well, I don't know if you know this. I'm a magician.
That's the true magic trick.
That's the true magic
and
trick.
I am a mini geek.
Hey, what's up, everyone? As I mentioned, I am a magician, but if you didn't know, my name is Lena Knatzer. I, along with being a magician, I'm a singer, dancer, actress, magician, and a mini gleek.
And model? Are you going for the whole Miranda Sings right now?
Yeah. Well, you already know that I'm a model. Look how tall I am.
Wow, I cannot believe. How on earth did I write 45 when it was 42?
You were not well.
And then it the next week and write 43.
I don't know.
That's what's crazy is that it we didn't like jump any episodes. A real magician right there.
I know, literally. I'm an illusionist. You're going to look back.
And it's going to have changed to 42. And I'll be like,
whoa.
No!
No! Totally.
Crazy. Well... Welcome to our homecoming minisode. We got some listener thoughts to share about this episode of Glee, season 6, episode 2.
Would you like to hear them? All right, let's kick things off with MV.
Hello, Lee and E-N. I'm Envy, they, them, drag artist and day one Gleek. While listening to your thoughts on homecoming, I had some thoughts of my own that I wanted to share. For starters, Lena... You will never be a magician. It doesn't matter how much you try. For seconders, Lena mentioned how weird and confronting it felt for Glee to end the same year you're preparing to graduate and transition into adulthood. That was a comment that resonated with me, because the year I was graduating, many of my favorite shows were coming to an end, which felt like a chapter closing. Next, let's talk warblers. Okay, so I love the fact that Blaine is the faculty advisor. I think it makes perfect sense both for him as a person and the warblers in general. I know it's not said directly, but it's implied loosely that the warblers need adult supervision. I mean, for years they were doing all kinds of messy shit, and there was no adult to be like, "Sebastian, maybe don't attempt to blind our former classmates with rock salt slushies," or, "Hey guys, it's illegal for you to take steroids to win a show choir competition." Frankly, I never understood why they would let a group of teenage boys do anything unsupervised on school grounds. They should have expected them to do all the things they've done in the past. That's honestly on them. Next thought, the twins. I love, love, love them. Their dynamic reminds me of me and my best friend. And I think it's funny to watch them be us before we even knew each other. Genuinely hilarious. That actually brings me to the topic of home Gleecast version. So I love that song on its own and as a Glee cover. I love that Mason and Madison perform it as their debut performance because it reminds me of me and my friend even more. I've always said if our friendship had a song, it would be Home. So that was a really fun thing to see and remember. It honestly really made me happy. And now for my final thoughts. I forgot that Blaine and Dave were both alumni of McKinley the first time I watched that episode. So when I saw them at the bonfire, I was confused as to why they were there. I thought you'd find that funny. But in all seriousness, Glee meant a lot to me. Recovering Gleek means a lot to me, and I'm very excited to see what the pod becomes when you finish season 6. Have a lovely day. Your favorite evil Muppet is signing off. Envy Kiltour. Envy, we actually have discussed it. We have finally reached a decision, and we are ready to officially announce that after season 6 of Glee, we're very excited. We've been sitting on this for a while. The podcast is going to become a close-up magic podcast. Lena will be performing magic tricks in an audio format every week. Just like at the beginning of this episode, just her saying instructions to the audience. You cannot see what's going on. You can't tell if we're doing the tricks or not. We figured it would boost Patreon sales because people would actually want to watch the video. So it's a big capitalist move on our part. Sacrificing really the quality the of the thing. Podcast.
The secondary thing is I did make a pact with the devil and I have to do magic on large groups of people. So please listen in.
Yes. Yes, this is for Lena's soul that we're doing a close-up magic don't you podcast care? After this. Come on. Can you imagine if we like really took a huge left turn like that? Everyone's like, what show are you covering next? And we're like, we're not covering a show. We're doing a magician how-to podcast.
And it's not even a how-to podcast. It's just tricks. It's just tricks. And then you're the lady that I saw in half on a podcast.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
That's honestly pretty slick. Oh, I like it. What?
Did I ever tell you?
What?
On the Discovery Princess, I don't know if you've heard it, Cruise Liner.
I have heard it.
The ship magician was like really good friends with the cast. He was so nice. Okay. And he used to throw us parties all the time.
Oh.
And he threw us a Halloween party where he like did... Like, he decorated our entire dressing room, all decked out. He had a Halloween trivia game. He had, like, mini games, like, mummy wrapping and stuff that he planned for us. And then he did a bunch of close-up magic for us for Halloween. And honestly, it spooked me to my core. I was like, this man is magic. Like, there is no reasonable explanation for what's happening in this room right now.
I love close-up magic. That's so fun.
He's the best. So if anyone's ever in Las Vegas, go check out David Gaddy's show. He lives in Vegas half the time, and then he's on the boat the other half of the time. So he has a show in Vegas as well.
That's so fun. So
go check him out.
That's A, so nice of him. I love people like that, that just like, I don't know, plan parties and are nice and do close-up magic. Mm-hmm. So that's what we're trying to get with our new podcast. So we hope we all listen in. Oh my gosh, on to your thoughts, Envy. First of all, the Warblers having a freaking teacher, it's about damn time. A, they're always doing illegal things. B, they're always doing gross things. C, what the frick, how have they not had a teacher? It's like Lord of the Flies in there. I literally haven't thought about this at all until this moment. That's so crazy.
Yeah. Sorry, that was bizarre.
Bunch of cards fall out of your mouth.
And it's just scarf.
It's string.
That's what you don't know. Is I just coughed up so many scarves. Remember during Ragtime?
Yeah.
When the guy playing Harry Houdini did that magic trick on stage that I had to help with, and I accidentally fell.
Yeah. All the
fell
time
into the trap door and totally ruined the trick for the entire audience. That was humiliating. That is probably my all-time favorite stage fail that I've ever done. Oh, it was so embarrassing. And then I just had to close the trap door and continue with the number as if no one knew there
nothing
was a trap
happened
door.
And then the whole audience went, oh, so it's a trap door.
Yeah, they're like, oh, so that's how you do that trick. Anyways, my apologies. Just coughed up a scarf. It didn't occur to me that we've never heard a whisper of the Warblers having a faculty supervisor in the past. So I like your interpretation of it, Envy, which is that they didn't. And finally, the headmaster was like, literally, these boys are a danger to themselves and others.
And others.
We have to have an adult in this room.
Yeah.
It's the Wild West in there.
They're giving each other birds. They're like putting each other in the hospital. Lord of the Flies.
I was not graduating when Glee came out, but Envy, I get what you're saying. And I get what Lena was saying about having TV shows that are very important to you ending your senior year of high school and being like, this feels like it's about my life. I remember The Office ended my senior year of high school, and The Office was on TV forever.
Yeah.
It was on the TV for 9 years, and it really was messing me up. Also 30 Rock, but 30 Rock was less. I love 30 Rock, but 30 Rock was less like end of an era than The Office was. Crazy.
Yeah.
I remember watching Buffy, which had been over for 10 years, but I finished season 3 of Buffy the week before graduation. And I was like, whoa, season 3 is when they're seniors in high school.
You're like, crazy. My own personal Sunnydale is exploding.
Exactly. I was like, my principal's going to get eaten by a snake next week. Ah!
Oh my gosh. Oh! Remember when we met him?
I literally forgot that we worked with
what? I never forget. Someone brought it up to me the other day. I think it was my dad. And I was like, oh yeah, Armin Shimmerman.
Wow. We really had a conversation with that man about how much we loved Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And he was so nice to us.
He was literally so nice. Dang. Shout out Armin Shimmerman. Our whole podcast is specifically dedicated to him. That's so funny. Also, the twins. I'm glad that you feel like you and your friend are Mason and Madison, because I feel like that is the cutest thing ever. And honestly, I feel that way with a lot of my friends, too. I love that. Hell yeah. Thank you so much for your email, Envy. I hope you have a great rest of your day. Up next, we've got a message from Mel.
Hello, Ian and LPC. I'm just going to go straight to my thoughts because I'm already overthinking this email. Lena Paige Knatzer, you will never be a magician. I'm tired of you thinking you will be. Beyond that, I think y'all summed up the feeling of this episode perfectly, how it truly does feel like coming home to what Glee used to be. Second, in one slight defense of Spencer's not like other gay vibes, while I do agree he does give that off, I think it's important to break down why that is. In later episodes, semi-spoilers maybe, he talks about the fact of how hard it is being the only gay man on the football team, so he feels like he has to be extra macho and extra traditional and have extra traditional bro vibes, or the other players will turn on him. It's similar to a lot of teen girls wanting to not be like other girls, because traditional girly things, especially teen ones, are demonized and made fun of and made to feel lesser if they subscribe to these things, so they go to an extreme opposite in rejecting these things. I feel like Spencer is in the exact same boat, to where he doesn't feel safe to even explore more traditional gay culture type things, for fear that he will then be kicked out of the cool kids and made fun of. Overall, I do think his character is interesting and a nice change, but I do agree with y'all that something about the actor makes me like him a little less. Last thing, I am so glad that y'all love the incest twins as much as I do. They made me laugh nonstop, and both actors have so much charisma and sell it hardcore. Also, every time Madison sings, I swoon. She just has such a gorgeous voice. Love y'all both so much, and I can't believe we're nearing the end, as y'all have brought me so much happiness throughout these last couple years. Every bit y'all do makes me truly laugh out loud. I could barely function while listening to the scatting episode at work. Wishing you both the best in life and all future endeavors. Consensual forehead kisses, Mel, she, her. P.S. I started watching the first season again just to have on while I cook, and my boyfriend would pop in and watch tidbits, and we are now on the second season, and he is obsessed. Though his biggest annoyance is their incorrect language around football plays and players, which I think is hilarious because as a person who barely understands football, I never noticed.
I never noticed either. I couldn't tell you anything about football.
No, I could not tell you what's wrong about the football in this show, except for that they could not use Artie Abrams in his wheelchair as a battering ram. I will never forget that conversation.
See, I don't even know football well enough to tell you that that couldn't happen.
Well, Mel, so glad to have you listening.
Yeah.
Honored to have brought you happiness these last few years. And get ready. We're keeping the podcast moving. Get ready for our next round. Sorry. Something behind my ear is bothering me.
Who put that there?
What?
What?
How did a quarter get behind my ear? What?
How did it get there? Insane. Where is it from? Where is it from?
Has it been there?
Is it Arizona? And is the year 95?
Okay, in all honesty, it's 2000 and it's South Carolina. But yes, it's Arizona 1995. The Palmetto State. I mean, what is Arizona? The Grand Canyon State. I should have known stay better than that. Crazy.
Crazy.
Crazy. Wow, on to the Spencer of it all. I agree. I'm sorry. I don't dislike Spencer. I think it's a fun idea. I think it's an interesting idea. And while I love the fact that Spencer just like doesn't care about Glee Club, like truly, mm-hmm. he's not trying to overthrow it. He just doesn't care. I don't think this is a spoiler. It's the most obvious thing ever. He's obviously going to end up joining the Glee Club.
Right.
And I think you make good points, Mel, that it's very possible that one of the reasons that he doesn't care about Glee Club is because he has never really allowed himself to like even think if he maybe would be interested in anything with the arts, because he needs to be super macho and like a bro so that he can fit in with the guys on the football team. Mm-hmm. I don't dislike this character. I'm sorry, everyone. Maybe my attitude will change, but I think it's fun.
We'll see. We'll see. I love this. Mel, thank you so much. Up next, we've got a message from Gilda.
Howdy, friends. It's your girl, Gilda, again, and I feel like I have a unique insight on the Warblers breaking tradition to let Jane in of it all. I am a graduate of Texas A&M University. No, scratch that. I am the loudest and the proudest member of the Fightin' Texas Aggie class of 2018. If you know absolutely nothing about Texas A&M, the only thing that you need to know is that we are deep-seated in tradition. That introduction I just made is one of them. Greeting you with howdy instead of hello is another. Other people describe us as a cult, and it is a label we Aggies gladly accept because we know it's true. 95% of Aggies get their class ring, and we wear them every day until the day we die. We have a saying that if something happens once, it's coincidence. If it happens twice, it's tradition. Now that I've set the stage for the culture of TAMU, I can get to the real business. At A&M, we do not have a cheer team. Rather, we have yell leaders. Yell leaders are 5 students who are elected by the student body to lead us throughout our yells during any sporting event or school activity. These students have always been male, and they probably will always be male for the foreseeable future. A&M began in 1876 as an all-male military college, so when yell leaders first started, that's who they were. Women were not even allowed to attend AMU until the early 1970s. A few years ago, when I was still a student, I was taking a sports law class where we dove into the specifics of Title IX and what exactly it meant for our athletic program. That is when my professor enlightened us that all it would take is one lawsuit from one girl to change one of our most beloved traditions. Let me tell you, if that happened and the school was then required to have a female yell leader, I really think riots would break out on the streets of College Station. Old Aggs who graduated back in the 1960s would have their next favorite things to complain about for the next 20 years, if they last that long. There would even be protests from some of the student body because if you don't go to A&M for the traditions, then why are you here? Now, I'm a first-generation student, and I didn't really drink the Kool-Aid until I attended, and until recently was pretty removed from the school, so I don't see a problem with this. I don't think they allow girls to be on the ballot to even have the opportunity to be voted on by the student body. Texas A&M's yell leaders are the Dalton Academy Warblers. Just knowing what we do know about Dalton and the Warblers, they too hold their traditions to a high standard and are basically a cult. Now knowing that they are legacy students with bloodlines possibly dating all the way back to 1812 or earlier, there are probably some outside factors to think about. While it's easy for Rachel and Mr. Shue to tell Blaine, be on the right side of history, I don't think they're taking everything into consideration. Do I think they should have let Jane in? Yes. Do I think they made a wrong choice in not letting her in? Not necessarily. The leaders of the Warbler Council most likely took an oath at the beginning of their service where one of their duties was to uphold tradition. Boosters most likely donate all the funds to run their glee club. Some of the members are most likely influenced by their parents who were Warblers in the past. The Warblers do not exist in a bubble that only lives inside Dalton Academy. I don't think it is fair to put such a high-pressure decision in the hands of 15 to 18-year-olds. This is a matter that should have been handled by Dalton Academy's administration and followed through by Blaine as their coach. This very long email was just a way for me to say that while it sucks that the Warblers didn't vote Jane in, I get it. Love y'all in the pod, and I can't believe Glee is ending soon. Also, if any Aggies hear this and they're worried because I may have gotten some things wrong, it's okay. This shit is not that serious. But you know what is serious? Lena Knatzer wanting to become a magician. Seriously, give it up. It's embarrassing. Besitos, Gilda.
I really thought we would get to the end of this email and you wouldn't say that. And you know what? Here's what I say to that. Here's what I say to that. A bunny.
No.
He's full of bunny out of a hat.
Out of her hat. Out of
her hat. What are you going to do about that, Gilda?
And she was wearing one of those mini top hats that you just clip in your hair. You know, like Britney wears to prom.
Exactly.
They're really big in like 2011. Totally. I don't know how bunny even fit in that. That's crazy.
A full-size bunny. I'm sick of these people not believing my dreams. Anyway, Gilda, I really appreciate this message. I didn't know anything about this university, so it was A, an interesting read, and B, an interesting perspective that I really appreciate. But I've been around people who, like, uphold this level of tradition for other things, and I've seen them around change, and they, like, start riots. So I love this perspective, and honestly, this makes a lot of sense in, like, terms of the Dalton Academy Warblers, so I really appreciate you sharing this.
Yeah. Also, as a friend of the podcast, Grace, pointed out in an email, there is canonically in season 2, we are told that there is an all-girls school, Crawford Country Day, that we are led to believe is like the female equivalent of Dalton. I don't know. It's a complicated topic, but it's, according to what has been introduced to us canonically in the show, there is another school. Maybe their Glee Club sucks though, that Jane could attend. I don't know. This whole like, what is tradition and what is prejudice conversation is always a lot and is very complicated. And I feel like these 15 to 18 year old boys where I'm like, I am in no place to be.
Yeah. Oh my God. Absolutely. And especially like before, you know, these last few weeks and these episodes, we haven't seen an adult with these people at all. Like they have been like self-governing, which maybe is a tradition in and of itself, which like, oh my gosh, 15 to 18 year olds. Whoa, that's a huge decision. That's a huge thing to uphold. That's a huge oath to take, you know?
Yeah, and feel the pressure of all the alumni who will be so pissed.
Yeah, or your parents.
If you change it.
Crazy. Yeah. Like, that's huge. I don't know.
Crazy.
I don't know anything about that. I don't know anything about that. You know what I do know a lot about? Close-up magic for podcasts. Everyone follow us on Twitter. And we will vote on my magician name. Thanks. Gilda, thank you so much for your perspective. Thank you so much for sharing this. I genuinely appreciate it.
My advice for entrepreneurs is definitely to level up with Shopify. The platform is just never a worry. Like, I have so many worries, but the platform is never one. I feel like Shopify really thinks about how they can optimize. It just always feels very ahead of the curve. Everything is just super easy to connect and link. They really know what we need. Time and money that is saved, I can spend on other things and on growth.
Start your free trial at shopify.com.
Up next, we've got a message from Victor.
Hi, Ian, Elena. I don't speak Portuguese, is that right? I assume it's E instead of E. Sorry, Victor, if I got that wrong. Sorry, all of our Brazilian listeners. My name is Victor, I'm 24, and I'm from Brazil.
International listeners!
Long-time listener, first-time emailer. Even though I did send a voice message about how I was kind of attracted to Mr. Shu when I watched Glee for the first time, but in my defense, I was a teenager and had very questionable taste in men. Victor, I'm gonna
pause. I remember this
and say,
this voicemail.
Are you the person who sent us the email that led to the title of like our third ever minisode, which was Will Schuster Intolerant? Our second ever minisode, Will Schuster Intolerant, where the whole minisode just ended up being about people who find Will Schuster attractive but are ashamed of it.
That was an intense moment because everyone was talking about that. Oh my gosh.
Oh, and at the time I was still like not publicly out, so I didn't say anything, but I can say now that I am out and I don't care that I also was thought he was very hot when I was a kid.
He's a hot guy.
We've said on the podcast many times, Matthew Morrison is many things. Unattractive is not one of them.
Exactly.
He is like a classically handsome man.
Hey.
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 Anyways, back to your email, Victor. If that was you, I very much remember that voice message. I feel like this email complements last minisode's email from Jacob, and I'm writing it to talk about how Roderick was really important to me when season 6 came out. Even though I'm a gay man, I've never felt really represented on Glee due to the fact that I kind of always suffered way more from fat phobia than homophobia. And we know Glee doesn't know how to talk about body issues in the best way. There's Mercedes' plot about tots in season 2, Finn in the Rocky Horror Glee show, even though Finn was never really fat, Marley in season 4, and Artie in the calendar episode, where it's evident how most of the male members of the Glee Club didn't have an average teenage body. Something that's changing in recent teen shows, thank God. And when we're talking about gay characters in the early seasons of Glee, we have Kurt, a femboy who is proud to wear cool outfits and break gender norms, something that as an adult I identify with a lot, but not so much as a teenager. And then we have Blaine, a character literally written for us to fall in love with along with Kurt, but he also has a pretty standard body type. Kurofsky was kind of the only gay character with a different body type, but his plot was always about internalized homophobia and never about how the gay community can be very fat phobic and toxic towards fat men. Seeing him dancing at the bar last episode made me so happy. It's really nice to see how he feels more comfortable with himself and still has a relationship with music. But let's get back to Homecoming. Roderick was the first fat male character in the Glee Club, and it's one of the reasons I love season 6 so much. His line, "I have designed my entire life around people not noticing me," pretty much summed up many years of my life before I was able to accept and love myself and be proud of my body. Thanks, therapy. Watching him sing Mustang Sally with so much confidence was beautiful and also made me feel represented because despite being shy, I've always loved singing and music gives me a lot of confidence, although I never had the courage to sing in front of other people during my teenage years. Now I'm 24 and things do get fucking better. But before I end my email, I would like to tell Lena that she will never ever be a magician and thank you both. As many of us nerds have already said, listening to your podcast feels like talking to my best friends. And you have made me feel less alone so many times, especially during the pandemic. Hearing the stories of your personal and professional lives also gave me the confidence to explore my love of music. In December of last year, I started taking singing lessons, and this year I was cast in my first musical, something that still sounds crazy in my head, a student production of Les Miserables as Mr. Thénardier. And I can say that I have never been a part of something that made me feel so special, pun intended. So thank you. Sorry for that gigantic email, Victor, he, him. P.S. Yes, the scene with Sam and Quinn laughing was a blooper that they kept in the episode. P.S. 2. Victor, I love the PlayStation 2. I really hope you do an episode or a minisode on the special they re-released along with the series finale called The Final Curtain. Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.
Does anyone know where to watch The Final Curtain?
Yeah.
I've never seen
it. I don't know
that.
I've never seen it either.
Because I would. I just see is it the 10-minute one? There's a 10-minute YouTube video called The Final Curtain.
Is that it?
I think so. Come on. You couldn't even do like an hour thing. I think it might be that.
Yeah.
Victor, congratulations to Les Miserables.
Mm-hmm. Thénardier is the role.
Oh my gosh.
That's so awesome.
You have to sing the whole song like that. It will not give you vocal nodules, I promise.
No. Take it from an expert. Victor, I really love this email and I really appreciate it. I feel like Roderick means so much to me as a person, and I'm so glad that he means so much to other people as well. And like, I think that's one of my favorite things about this season of Glee is Roderick, and is like what Ian said the other week, like focusing on other characters that maybe we've already seen on Glee, but like more of the background characters. Like, I don't know, like, I just feel like it's such a good idea to start with these four super like characters we haven't seen on this show before. I just think it's such a good idea, and especially Roderick. And I love that he means so much to you. And it makes me really happy. And I really appreciate you sharing this.
Yeah, Victor, thank you for this email. I love Roderick. And I agree, in the past, Glee has not handled body issues well. The amount of body issues they make, I mean, body comments they make about Finn Hudson, that messed me up as a teenager.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was like, oh, is he supposed to be fat? And also, oh my gosh, what you say, which this is not, this specific thing is not a Glee problem, a Glee specific problem, but how every other boy is like a male model in the Glee Club, yeah, which is so true for every TV show. And like, I get it in the sense that these actors are on TV. They're going to be seen by the entire world. So like, they're trying to be at peak physical form because like, they're going to be seen by the entire world. But it is, as a viewer, especially as an adult, I can be like, oh, that's not what people look like. That's what TV actors look like. But as a child, you're like, yeah, oh, that's what teenagers are supposed to look like. And that's not what I look like. So what's mm-hmm. going on here?
And especially with, I feel like, men, you know, I think like in having a group of teenage boys not have body diversity, like we see a little more body diversity in the girls in on Glee, but like we almost see none with the boys. And so I think that's when like having characters like Roderick is so important, is like, you know, you like calling Finn Hudson fat is just categorically not true. And it's genuinely mm-hmm. going to mess up young minds to see that, genuinely.
Yeah. Yeah. Woo!
Woo!
So yeah, I love Roderick. I'm so glad he's on this show.
Yeah.
I love all these newbies. They got a special place in my heart.
Me too. Sorry if you don't like them. We love them. You know what else we love?
Hate somewhere else.
Magic.
A fireball just exploded next to Lena's head and a dove flew out.
Literally.
Of it.
Sorry.
Crazy.
Whoa. What the heck?
A string of pearls.
My necklace.
Just came out of my mouth. That was really unhygienic. I shouldn't have done that. Ew.
It's your sweat.
It's more my saliva.
Ooh. Oh, your saliva. Oh, yeah. And then you have to put it on. Oh, me neither.
I just woke up to do this podcast.
Anyway, everyone, thank you so much for all of your emails. Thank you so much for listening. We love doing this podcast. We love talking about Glee. We love talking about season 6. We love you guys so much. Thanks for being here.
And we love the relative pitch game. Songs in this episode are Take On Me by Aha, Tightrope by Janelle Monáe, Problem by Ariana Grande, Mustang Sally by Wilson Pickett, and Home by Edward Sharpe.
Okay.
And you did the GLAC, so you're first.
Yes.
And you're going to do Problem by Ariana Grande.
I freaking knew you were going to freaking say that, because I'm a magician. It's Iggy Iggs.
I think you're flat.
Frick, I knew it. Okay. I think it's, Hey, baby, even though I hate you. Oh, that's so high. Tell me. No way, this can't be right. Oh, my God. I think it's Head in the Cold. Oh, my God, this is so hard.
Is Ariana your kryptonite? Oh, my God.
I think so, because
you struggled this much.
I want to love you. I want you. And even though I can't forgive you. There's no way it's that high. Is it just this early? That's where my brain is going to. Hey, baby, even though I hate you, I want to love you. I want you. Okay, I can't do anymore. I made my bed. I have to lie in it. That's so crazy.
Okay, so you're singing a beat on A flat. That's what you sang.
Oh, yeah. That's so high.
Ariana really, she's got it, I guess. Gal,
wow.
She's not singing that song at 10:30 in the morning, though. That's the difference.
All right. I want you to sing Home by Edward Sharpe and the Magnetic Zeros.
Okay. Yes, I've made the choice. For Papa, I will say. But I don't deserve to lose my freedom in this way, you monster.
You know what I, like,
if you think that what you've done is right, well then, you're a fool. Think again. That is, I am like, how is Disney not capitalizing on that song more?
It's the most beautiful song ever.
It is such an elevation of like anything that Belle sings in the movie. Mm-hmm. And the fact that they made that crappy live action version, pardon me, and didn't have her sing Home. I was like, yeah. What are you doing?
What are you doing?
Instead, they gave her Paris of My Childhood. What is that? I don't know. Want that song. Put Home in there.
Exactly.
Home like gives me chills.
I have chills
to it.
Like you can't see it, but it's I have chills song. Just talking about it.
Build higher walls.
I think the stage production of Beauty and the Beast is so beautiful.
Lock every it's my favorite, which change Alex and I get in fights about this. It's my favorite Disney stage adaptation.
Oh, what does he say?
He thinks it's bad, and I say sorry.
Bad.
I think it's amazing.
He's wrong.
He just thinks. The main thing I remember him not liking is the translation of the objects to stage, where it's like they're all just like human sized candelabras, is he doesn't like.
I what are they supposed to
and
do?
Silly. And the costumes are like, the costumes aren't literal, like they're like suggestions. No. So I can in my mind be like, oh, they're small now, who cares?
Yeah, totally.
I love that stage.
I can suspend my disbelief. Absolutely, me too. I want to be in it so bad.
All the music is
bad.
Gorgeous.
I felt like growing up, I like was such a Belle hater for some reason. And I think that's because I am Belle. Like the older I get, the more I'm like, Beauty and the Beast is the most beautiful story of all time. Like, I love mm-hmm. Belle so much. She is so special to me.
Belle is an icon. Beauty and the Beast is a movie that I will literally fight people on because people love to be like, she got Stockholm Syndrome. And it irritates the crap out of me. I'm like, you're missing the whole point of the movie.
Yeah.
She, first of all, does not take his crap. She stands up to
literally.
Him. She is mean to him when he deserves it. Mm-hmm. And she only ever starts showing any interest in him after he has, like, apologized and turned over a new leaf and is, like, looking after her and goes out and saves her life. And that's when she's like, oh. Like, it's not a movie about Stockholm Syndrome. It is a movie about finding there is goodness in another person and then bringing that goodness to the surface. My gosh.
I know. People are crazy.
Infuriating.
I know. I think people are just like missing the entire point, especially like, you know, it does. When I can't even deal with people in that movie.
Anyways, Home by Edward Sharp.
Where were we? Oh my gosh.
Alabama, Arkansas. I think it's that. Oh my gosh, it's so early. Alabama, Arkansas, I do love my mom, pa, not the way that I do love you. Well, holy moly, me oh my, you're the apple of my eye. Girl, I never loved one like you. Man, oh man, you're my best friend, I'll scream it to the nothingness. There ain't nothing that I need. Well, hot and heavy pumpkin pie, chocolate candy, my oh my. There ain't nothing please me more than
Jesus
you.
Christ.
Jesus Christ. All right. Okay, so my Alabama, Arkansas was B flat, G flat over and over again. Where do I get these keys from? I like literally just make it up. I am two full steps off. That was a G flat to a D. And I sang.
Everyone, we love you so much. Thank you so much for being here. We'll see you this Wednesday. We're talking about the next one, Jagged Little Tapestry. Oh my God. Everyone start streaming those records and get familiar with Alanis Morissette and get familiar with Carole King.
And if you got thoughts, send them to recoveringgleek@gmail.com.
We love you guys so much. Thank you all so much for being here. Have a great rest of your week. We We love you.
And for our last trick, we're going to make this podcast episode disappear. You ready?
Ooh.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Thank you for listening to Recovering Gleek. You can find us on Instagram and TikTok at recoveringgleek_podcast. If you liked our podcast, be sure to leave a review and tell your friends, please.
My advice for entrepreneurs is definitely to level up with Shopify. The platform is just never a worry. Like, I have so many worries, but the platform is never one. I feel like Shopify really thinks about how they can optimize. It just always feels very ahead of the curve. Everything is just super easy to connect and link. They really know what we need. Time and money that is saved, I can spend on other things and on growth.
Start your free trial at shopify.com.